Did you ever wonder what happens to those trees that are removed from our urban landscape? Boy, we have a lot of trees in our urban areas. And when you get something like the emerald ash borer or the elm bark beetle, things like that, a lot of times you've got to remove a lot of those trees in a hurry. Larry Mueller here with my guest, who is going to be talking with us about an organization that has linked people in different industry to those trees that can be keep those trees out of landfills and be used for other purposes. Duane Sperber, our guest today, is the founding partner of Wisconsin Urban Wood. He's also a member of the Wisconsin Urban Forestry Council. So I hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about repurposing urban trees? The conversation can be a lot of fun today. I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. You can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, or you can also send us a tweet at L. Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Duane Sperber, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Larry.
Thanks a lot for taking time to be with us today. What is usually done with trees that are removed in our cities and towns, and why is this not the best solution?
Well, that has certainly been at the forefront of this. Trees, when they come down, are certainly a huge responsibility, let's just say, to a municipality. They're a liability, and safety is their concern. So they're not only concerned with the health and quality of those trees as they're living, but when they come down, they need to be handled just so. And typically that involves getting rid of them as quickly and safely as possible. And many times that quick version includes cutting them into the logs into smaller pieces or chipping them. And that certainly might be the best option at that time. However, Wisconsin Urban Wood has introduced and continues to work very hard to introduce a different process, a different way of thinking about that log. And we've seen, in other words, where the length of log can be preserved safely and perhaps taken to a sawmill rather than a landfill or rather than being considered chipped. And that is a long and continuous road that we're on. So liability and the safety of our of residents is a number one priority in all of this. We're just looking for we're creating change.
Yeah, and
way of thinking.
How did this all this Wisconsin Urban Wood Organization? How did it get going? I'm a past member of the Dane County Tree Board, so I've had a long-standing interest in urban trees. And
sure. Well, I think we've got to go back quite a few years. You know, urban wood refers to the wood from trees that were removed for reasons other than harvest. They're removed because they had to come down. And that certainly has been happening forever. You know, recycling has been around forever. And just like recycling regained new interest back in the 70s, it's the emerald ash borer that kind of jump-started what's been called the urban wood movement. And I'd like to think, and I've always said, I've always imagined someone sitting in the back of a meeting hall, perhaps a municipality, was considering how are they going to manage all of these removals. I imagine somebody in the private sector raised their hand and said, well, we should utilize all of these trees. And that's kind of how it started. And now the urban wood movement, although inspired by the emerald ash borer, includes any tree that has to come down is hopefully being considered for its highest use. And that has been kind of a long road. In the early 2000s, many responded with creating a lot of lumber, and they demonstrated how wood could be created from these otherwise wasted logs. And then we realized, though, that we were introducing a brand new wood product to those who build and design with wood. So it took us a decade to figure out that we need to really introduce this as a new product. So those of us that kind of hung in there over that decade found each other and realized we needed to link all of the supply, all of the market chains, from arborist to architect. And we came together as Wisconsin Urban Wood. And Wisconsin Urban Wood has members. It's a nonprofit organization that represents, its members represent that entire market chain.
So, and who, typically, who is involved in the group?
Well, the industry is involved are arborists, which are required to be certified arborists. These logs are not traditional. Typically, they're a little bit ornery, as I've said over the years. They're not always straight. They're not always necessarily seen as of value. So we have members that have sawmills who are committed to processing these less than traditional logs. We have those that will then retail and supply that lumber to industry. And we have those who manufacture with this wood, from the one-off custom furniture maker to those who produce entire commercial interiors with urban wood. And then, of course, we've got a very strong voice and representation from those who do design and specify with wood. So the members, again, represent anything, any person, any industry involved, from tree to table, from tree to building. And also, I'd like to throw in before I forget, you know, the tagline under Wisconsin Urban Wood, I want to make very clear, is trees first, wood next. So we certainly do not go out and remove trees for the purpose of the products. We are capturing and diverting trees from waste streams. And that's my biggest promise as a supplier of urban lumber. My biggest and first promise is that my product comes from trees that had to be removed.
Oh. The Wisconsin Urban Forestry Council, talk about that for a minute, would you?
Yeah, I'm very honored to be involved with this group. We are let's see here. I was going to get the exact definition of us. We, the Wisconsin Urban Forestry Council, they're appointed positions appointed by the Secretary of the DNR, and our purpose is to advise the Wisconsin DNR on the best ways to maintain and expand and improve Wisconsin's urban and community forests. And we, too, have a diverse membership from every angle, from every segment of urban forestry. And I was asked to join the council in my second term, I think in 2014, I believe, to represent urban wood utilization. And this council is working on creating long-range strategic direction plans in four areas. Those four areas are advocacy and technology transfer, stormwater issues, and urban forest species diversity, and included in that, I'm very happy to say, is urban wood utilization. And one of the I'll call it a project, one of our efforts related to urban wood utilization is the council has created a letter of support, if you will, directed to universities and colleges here in Wisconsin, encouraging those schools that have construction management programs, interior design programs, and architecture programs, that they incorporate, and we will help them incorporate the topic of urban wood utilization into their programs. And I've jumped ahead a little bit because I think we'll describe why that's important later, perhaps.
Yeah, for sure. I want to give Scott in New Berlin a chance to join in here. Scott, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hello. I'm quite interested in this. I'm involved in the property committee on my church, and we've got one really good-sized ash tree and two or three smaller ones that we're going to need to remove soon. They didn't get treated in time and they're dying. We got one we're saving. How do we get a hold of you guys so we can have whoever cuts the tree down for us get it to the right place?
Sure, I've got two options for you, but I must say, you said you're in New Berlin?
Yeah.
You're in good hands there. Either it's your forester, or at least he works in your forestry department. A gentleman's name that I don't know if I should share over the...
Sure, go ahead.
...is Paul Fliss. is a real champion of this effort of urban wood utilization, and has gone to has done some incredible work in New Berlin, inspired also by the ash. So one route you could go is to contact this gentleman with New Berlin, but certainly look at our website, Wisconsin Urban Wood's website, which is wisconsinurbanwood.org, O-R-G, and on there you can find arborists by location, where they might be located, and I think that would be a great way to start.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. When something like this happens, let's say with the church, what are the costs? Typically, what happens? Does the, like in this case, the church, would the church pay to have the trees removed, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a very great question and a common question, and I have to answer that delicately. the cost of removal, we've got experienced, you know, wonderful arborists here in Wisconsin, and removing a tree is a tremendous amount of responsibility, and I would certainly encourage contracting with a certified arborist, number one, is the largest priority. And a common misconception, and sometimes it isn't always true, but a common misconception is that tree is worth thousands of dollars. But never and rarely, I should say rarely, does the value of the tree meet or exceed the cost of removal. The removal must be taken very seriously, and really, most of us involved in this are rarely pay for logs, because it is indeed a waste and something to be rid of. That isn't always the case, though. In my business, we deal with multiple trees at a time, but Wisconsin Urban Wood makes it possible for, in this scenario, for this church, for example, to reach out to our website and find that independent arborist who will do a good job and
get the work done. Yeah. I tell you what, Duane, we're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back and talk more about this program. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at ways that we can make good uses for trees removed from our cities and towns. And our guest is Duane Sperber. He is the owner of Woodward and a founding partner of Wisconsin Urban Wood. He's also a member of the Wisconsin Urban Forestry Council. What ways have you repurposed trees? What would you like to know about the Wisconsin Urban Wood Program? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post, send us a tweet, actually, at L. Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And, Duane, we were talking about costs associated with removal of trees. I know from my own experience, having to have a very large tree removed from my property several years ago, that it's an expensive process to do it safely.
Yes, sir, it is. And I don't want to, and it is because those doing it know what they're doing. And we can put our faith in our Wisconsin certified arborists to make sure it happens safely, which is the number one safety for people to the property and to those people doing the removals. Wisconsin Urban Wood has some other options, and as I was saying, the value of that log is rarely meets or exceeds the cost of removal. And Wisconsin Urban Wood members who are makers, who these arborists are tied to, can perhaps, the homeowner could perhaps have that log milled to produce furniture, other items, wood items for their own home. Or they can certainly be assured that wood will find a higher use destination and be returned back to their community as products. So that's more of a
another way to look at it. Yeah.
Right, correct.
John has, in Madison, has something along those lines, I believe. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I have an exciting story to tell you about repurposing urban logs. Plymouth Church on Atwood Avenue harvested a black walnut tree from Gilson Street, South Park Street, and repurposed that lumber into sanctuary furniture, like a communion table and a lectern and a stand for a baptismal font. And it's just beautiful, and we're enjoying it greatly.
Oh, that's wonderful. John, thank you so much. Well, that's what you're talking about, Duane.
That's right. There's some parallel redemptive qualities of the work of Wisconsin Urban Wood. We are diverting something to a higher use, and something that would typically be lost, and it's being born again, if you will, as and living on as a functional and value giving product.
Let's go to. I'm sorry.
I was just saying it was celebrating the trees.
Yeah, absolutely. Linda in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is, by the way, sounds like it just sounds wonderful. I'm so glad to hear about it. But I was wondering about the trees, you know, using the trees that are diseased. That's not a problem.
No, it's not. Typically, the quality of urban logs are perhaps, it varies anyway from its natural growth. Our members produce sound boards and sound products, but any part of the insect the insect is removed during the kiln process. You know, if you're concerned about perhaps the insects in the tree, those are killed or eliminated during the milling process as well as the kiln drying process. But the insect does not affect the integrity of that tree, of the wood in that tree. Was that stated clearly?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I had another question actually about the wood chips from trees. This may not be what you're talking about, and I understand that, but in case you could, I go to the city place in Madison to get wood chips, and I've asked them about, you know, does the ash borer and stuff, can it come through there? Because we have ash trees, and he said, no, anything that goes through there is killed. And then I was hearing about somebody on Larry's Garden Talk show saying that you now can get verticillium wilt from the wood chips, and that would be such a shame not to be able to use those. And I just wondered if that would be killed too.
Yeah.
And I can't answer that intelligently, but I do know that cities or those who process these logs follow a pretty particular protocol, especially related to EAB and other harming insects and conditions.
There are, but to go along with that, there are uses for those chips, are there not, other than what Linda's talking about?
Sure. Chips, and as I may have said earlier, although Wisconsin Urban Wood's mission is to divert these trees to the highest use, that depends on a lot of factors. It depends on location, quality of log, and certainly the canopy of that tree. When a city removes a tree, if they can chip and utilize the smaller portions of that tree but yet preserve the log, you bet those chips have a wonderful purpose and a wonderful use back to that city or back to that homeowner. So chips can also be, if they are processed properly, can go to pulpwood for paper mills. So it all has It all has a use, absolutely.
Yeah. Linda, thank you again for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Mike in Fond du Lac a chance to join in. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks. In Fond du Lac, we have a Winnebago Land Conservation Alliance, and the city of Fond du Lac has 5,000 ash trees. Well, what we did is we took the tops from the ash trees when they were moving them out of the park, and we actually put them on the ice in the wintertime, weighted them down, and sunk them in the lagoons in the park, and they provide excellent fish habitat. This year, kids were fishing along the shoreline and catching very large perch and bluegills from the areas where we sunk these as fish habitat.
Oh, uh-huh.
Very cool story.
Yeah, that's a great story, Mike. Thank you for calling. And it just sort of calls to mind some uses. Maybe you've got some examples of other examples of repurposing, Duane, that has occurred.
Well, every story where a local tree is utilized, again, locally, is a very good story. Our members can take down or utilize, you know, these trees are a part of our community. Period. And people on these trees have lived together and they've served each other. And when they come down, they can be celebrated. When a person dies, hopefully their life is celebrated. When a tree comes down, we can celebrate these trees and give them another life. So indeed, every story I hold very high. But something that I'll never get tired of is I typically supply larger commercial projects with a higher volume of wood. And the beauty of that is that we are introducing this virtually new product, this new urban wood. And any time that my product begins as a local tree, it goes then to a regional sawmill where it's produced into lumber. It then goes to a regional supplier and perhaps is turned into another company, another community member who turns it into another product, and then that product goes into a building that will indeed last for decades, you know, if not longer. So every story to me, Larry, will be one of that's pretty romantic to me. It will always be meaningful. As far as a homeowner's tree, I'm working with a customer right now who, sadly, in her words, had to remove trees to build her home. But yet her dining room table and some of her living room furniture will be created from those trees. Well, it doesn't get much better than that in my book.
Absolutely. There's an ad running on television now, and I don't even remember the product or her company, but it's an ad of an elderly couple.
Yeah, it's Toyota.
Oh, is it Toyota?
Yeah, it's a beautiful commercial. Absolutely.
It's an older couple that had to cut down a tree, and the daughter and son-in-law had it made into a beautiful table.
Yeah, it just gave you goosebumps. I'm sorry to admit that, but I'm corny like that. But it was a beautiful commercial.
I still see it once in a while. I always get a nice smile on my face when I see it. You know, somebody emailed and wondered. What does a sawyer do?
Oh, gosh, you might be talking to the wrong person. I believe a sawyer is someone who mills the wood. But I use it between both. I don't know. I'll admit, I don't know if it refers to the person removing the tree, but I believe it refers to those making boards from those logs.
Okay, there we go. Kathy in Florida, your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm wondering, does every Wisconsin arborist, do they have to be registered? Will it be on the arborist site? I mean, somebody can call themselves an arborist, but if they're not registered, are they considered an arborist?
Well, our Wisconsin Urban Wood member arborists are required. Their requirement is that they are certified. And that is done through WAA, the Wisconsin Arborist Association, and I believe the ISA, the International Society of Arborists. So I don't know the nomenclature there between registered or licensed or what have you, but you can be assured that our arborists are certified. What the specific terminology is, I'm not aware.
But it means that they've gone through additional quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. It means there's a certain level of, as Larry said, training, and I'll go further and say, and expectation of knowledge and safety and things like that.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And typically, if an arborist is certified, they're going to, he or she's going to make that known.
Absolutely. It's listed on their advertisement, on their business card. There'll be some acronyms following their name.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathy. Emily in West Allis, your turn. Hi, Emily.
Hi. I'm calling, actually, because we had the same problem with spondulac. We have a lot of ash trees that had to get cut down. And so what we did in our community was we actually run an event called Wood and Wings, where we take those trees and we make them into benches and tables and chairs, and we have artists embellish them, and we auction them off to people in the community. So the trees get repurposed and get to stay in West Allis.
Oh, what a great idea. Duane?
Can I just speak with you at WAA?
Sure. Give me a call.
Yeah, this was a very cool event. I was unable to attend last year, but not to take any glory away from their event, but that represents Wisconsin Urban Woods mission, absolutely.
Yeah,
and West Allis has been very open-minded in their pursuit.
Mike Rushmore and Andy Hetzer, definitely from our forestry department, were the ones spearheading this. They're like, we want to find a way to keep it in the city and a really cool way to do it. And so
absolutely.
I'm with the downtown, so we jumped on board and said, sure, why not?
Good.
Thanks, Emily. That's a great experience. Appreciate your call. Boy, that's great. Evelyn and Nina, let's go to you next. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi there. In 1978, when we built our home in about a 2.5-acre woods, needless to say, we had to cut some trees down. So we had them sawed up and dried, et cetera. And the wainscoting on our family room, the mantle on our fireplace, and the posts on our front porch are from those trees. And then also my husband had to continue to cut some maple trees down, and he made Aldo Leopold benches from them. And his urn for his ashes is made out of a box that he made from the trees.
Oh,
so we have utilized this wood, and this home is so much more special because of the trees that we had to cut down and we saved.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Evelyn, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think Nancy and Grafton has a story, Evelyn, that you might be interested in, and everybody else for that matter. Let's go there. Nancy, hello.
Well, good morning. When my husband was a young man, his dad, who owned a tavern, bought acres and acres of woods, of timber up north, and Bob worked in the woods, and he cut many, many timbers. And then when we moved down here to Grafton, he knew how to do that, and he took care of a lot of trees around here that had to be taken down. Well, anyway, Bob died in July. And we said, hey, Bob wants a, he would want to have a wooden casket, and he did. The Trappist monks down in Iowa make these, and it was the most beautiful piece of furniture. It was just beautiful, and everybody commented about that, and I'm just so happy that we did that for him, because that's what he would have wanted. And I found out that those Trappist monks down in Iowa will provide a free casket for a baby, a family who has lost a child, a baby. They will provide that free. And they plant a tree for every casket that they make. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful tribute.
I would agree with you. Duane, I bet you agree as well.
Well, I do, we're Wisconsin Urban Wood is a part of a U.S. Forest Service grant project called Full Circle, And that story and these last two stories were certainly full circle. How can we plant the proper trees and take care of them, but consider their use after they come down and bring it right back to that community? And that is a full circle approach. So imagine when our culture, you know, adopts that way of thinking, and these stories will continue to come in on and on and on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nancy. I appreciate it. Just we've heard some good examples, I think, of what communities have done. Do you know of other ways in which communities have used wood?
Well, a good example that's close to my work is the city of Milwaukee. Every tree that is removed, and Milwaukee has become kind of the model for multiple communities across here in Wisconsin and across the country. They containerize everything from a tree that they don't want to chip, anything that they don't want to cut up or chip. And typically that will hopefully always include long logs and other debris. And rather than not knowing where that debris ended up by another company hauling it off, they now know it goes to a regional sawmill. And at that sawmill, it becomes a recycling center, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we've got fuel wood and pulp wood, and then logs that can turn into lumber. And I want to point out that Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, pays to have those containers with those debris in it, pays to have that. That's their cost. And in doing so, the city reduced their associated costs by about half. About 50%.
Wow.
So this was definitely a financial decision, but look at the investment, so to speak, that they're making in their community. They're sustaining a sawmill and supplying multiple people who come and purchase this local resource, and then it ends up in our buildings or perhaps, I hate to repeat, but perhaps a casket, perhaps an urn, flooring in a commercial building, on and on and on and on. So that is probably the best example of a municipality that size, but smaller communities around Wisconsin are doing the same thing at their capacity level, where perhaps their wood is being returned to a high school for their wood programs or other, or used in their parks. There is always a use for wood, sideboards for city trucks, beds, so on and so forth. So that's a wonderful example. I mean, in Wisconsin Urban Wood has pulled together these municipal models that we have that we can do outreach with other communities who can adopt this program and indeed become members of Wisconsin Urban Wood. The entire city of Eau Claire, for example, is a member of Wisconsin Urban Wood, which means they have agreed to or promised to manage their trees and their when they come down, making them available to other members of Wisconsin Urban Wood, and that's building a brand and a process, and a way of thinking, so that people here in Wisconsin can ask for Wisconsin Urban Wood and confidently ask for it and get it.
So, for people who would like to find out more about Wisconsin Urban Wood or even about your organization, your business, Woodward, how do they do that, Duane?
Well, the easiest way is Wisconsin Urban Wood maintains a website, wisconsinurbanwood.org. And on there is a list, including myself, of members, and, you know, from arborist to the table maker. And they can go to wisconsinurbanwood.org. And Wisconsin Urban Wood is also a part of more of a national association now called the Urban Wood Network. The Urban Wood Network is joining states across the country of this same mission.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Duane, but I want to thank you so much. I hope we have a chance to talk again about this program. I really appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you so very much.
Duane Sperber, owner of Woodward, founding partner of Wisconsin Urban Wood. Thank you for listening. Scott Craven joins us tomorrow to talk about the world of wildlife. In the meantime, stay with us.